9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. J-Man the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Definitely can complain about the wind. So tired. The wind just howling every single day. Right now, it's a little windy out there, it looks like. They are lucky it'll start picking up some steam here later on.
Yeah, probably mid-afternoon.
Great. Just a reminder, by the way, that the Mavericks game with CSU Pueblo looks like it's probably going to start closer to 3:30, maybe 4 o'clock today, because they've had to move some of the times up because three of the teams, they closed down Vail Pass, and three of the teams got in here after midnight. And so to try to give them a chance to get a little rest, they're going to start the first game today at noon. So right now it's looks like it's going to be noon, 3:30 or 4, and then probably 7:30. So your first game today is Adams State, Colorado School of Mines. And right now that's going to start at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be followed by the Mavericks, CSU Pueblo, which I'll have here on the team, pregame at 2:45. And so we'll either start at 3:15.
Yeah.
3:30, 3:45.
We don't know. We're not sure yet.
5:06, somewhere.
Right. Something like that. And then we hope to join the Rockies Giants in progress after the Mavericks game. And so then it's Metro State Regis tonight, 7:30, maybe 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow, just so you know, that the loser of game one will play the loser of game three. So that means whoever loses CSU Pueblo and the Mavericks will play the loser of the game tonight between Metro State and Regis. That's set for 11 o'clock tomorrow. And then the winner of game one takes on the loser of game two. So winner of CSU Pueblo, CMU,
mm-hmm.
will take on the winner of the Adams State Mines game. And then that's set for 3 o'clock. We should be back on track tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then the other game, the winner of game two and the winner of game three play at 7 o'clock on Thursday.
Still, the moving back of the game time is not the most confusing aspect of day one, because the Mavs are playing in game number one at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock or 3:30 or whatever. Adams State, Colorado School of Mines, they're playing game number two at noon first. And then game number three, allegedly, is the third game of the day tonight.
I'm thought about texting Dave Yonke over at CMU, and having Dave come on and explain it for us.
Yeah, because he texted Tyler and I Monday. It was a long story. And we got 50-ish minutes left to fill. So
I'm gonna right now, is a little on air.
There's nothing else going on over there, right?
I'm sure Dave has nothing else going on. I'm trying to talk here, and I'm trying to type.
If you go to the RMAC website and you look at the bracket.
Yeah, and it's right there.
It's game one is the second game of the day today. So if you think, okay, Mavs play game one, starts at 11. That's not, no.
No, it's the 3 o'clock game, or well now,
there's no game starting at 11. But game number two will be the first game of the day at noon. Game number one will be the second game of the day starting 3:30-ish, probably closer to 4.
Okay, you got Dave's number, don't you?
I do.
Call Dave.
All right.
Because he said yes.
Let's do it. I'm intrigued.
I am too, because wouldn't game one be Adams State, Colorado School of Mines, since the first game of the day? And then CSU Pueblo, CMU would be game two? And then Metro State and Regis is game three, which it is. It's game three. It's just a little goofy. So we got him. Okay. Dave Yonke, SID, Colorado Mesa University. Award-winning SID, by the way. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. explain it to me, man. How does Mesa playing in game one when they're the second game of the day?
So honestly, the easiest way to explain it is technically we're supposed to play the first game each in order. Game one would be us versus CSU Pueblo.
Right.
But they allow the NCAA, the RMAC, everybody allows us to move our game time to get into a premium game time. And so instead of reworking all the numbers in the bracket, they just leave the game one in the game two slot, and you just flip. They just flip flop, and so it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it makes life easier on a lot of people when you're putting the tournament schedule together.
Okay, so it is kind of like my theory was this: like, does this have something to do with being the home team?
It does,
and so it does. So that was the only thing I could think of why this game would be game one when it's actually game two.
Yes, it does have to do with the home team and being able to pick your premium, your spot where you want to play as a benefit of being the regular season champion.
Okay.
Was there any thought given to playing at 11 because your opponent now has to route through Denver and make a longer bus ride?
You know, it crossed our minds. But actually, our opponent made it last night.
Oh, okay. No advantage for you guys there.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So who are the three that didn't get? Was it Mines, Regis, Metro?
Mines, Metro, and actually Adams with the bridge closed
at
Blue Mesa.
Yeah.
They ended up going around to Moab.
Wow. Ooh.
And so we were trying to figure out that was like an 8-hour drive. Pueblo. It took them 9.5 hours to get here, and Mines and Metro, they're doing finals this week, so they were leaving later anyway, and so they ended up not getting in until after midnight. They said Vail Pass was an absolute ice sheet the whole way.
Wow. What a shock. Bad weather in the mountains in springtime in Colorado. That never happens.
I was going to say we got that spring storm that always happens, seems like.
Yeah. So today for the CMU game with Pueblo, we're looking at what, 3:30, 4 o'clock? I think your text said kind of like a rolling schedule is what we're looking at today for that.
Yeah, it's a rolling schedule. They're going to go an hour after the completion of the previous game, or as close to that as we can, and. I'm anticipating somewhere 3:30, 4 o'clock as a start time.
Okay, and then we're back on track tomorrow, 11:30, 7 o'clock, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I mean, one of the games involved in the first game did allow 36 runs in 7 innings.
Yes.
So 4 o'clock is bold, I feel.
Yes, and that's kind of where we are. We kind of were like, offense is up in the conference this year. There's no way we're not going to get away with a 2-hour and 15-minute game.
No,
are we?
It's not going to happen. No way, no how.
They allowed almost 100 runs last weekend in split. So
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 35 home runs.
Wow.
Dang.
It's incredible.
Is that all?
Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So, once again, you go online to get your tickets or get them out at the ballpark for the RMAC tournament. And once again, it's going to start at noon today with game two, Adams State, Colorado School of Mines.
Yes, technically game two, Adams State, Colorado School of Mines. Like you said, tickets are available at the gate, or you can go online. They're on the RMAC site through Hometown Ticketing. And it's preferred if people buy them ahead of time. It makes life easier for everybody if they're purchased ahead of time online.
All right, very good. Dave, we'll see you out there, okay?
Thanks, Jim.
All right, take care. All right, Dave Yonke, Sports Information Director, explaining why the Mavs are playing in game one when it's actually game two.
The number one seed is playing in game number one, the second game of the day. The number two seed is playing in game three, which is the third game of the day.
Yes.
And then the three seed is playing in game two, which is the first game of the day. And up is down, and left is right.
That's exactly. Oh, okay. Well, I'm I'm glad my theory was correct on why.
Really, what you should do, keep the team on all day. And when you hear a pregame show start, head to the ballpark. You may miss the top of the first. It could be a 1-2-3 inning. Could be 50 runs scored. You will never really know.
You don't know.
Hope for the Mavs. It's a 1-2-3 inning as being the home team. They pitch first. So, but it's Pueblo. It's craziness shall ensue at some point today.
All right. 9-11 Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's a Wine About It Wednesday with Talon Wine. If you've got something you need to get off your chest today, I understood, but I still wanted to whine about it because last week I'd forgot because we were gone.
Okay.
For the event in Breckenridge. Mm-hmm. Forgot to put my trash can out. So trash was really full. So trash can gets put out on Monday. That's trash day. And because it was so windy, they couldn't come and pick it up. And my trash was really starting to reek. But fortunately, it was out there on the curb with the rest of my neighbors, and their trash was not exactly smelling fresh as a daisy.
So you couldn't pick out whose was whose, is what you said. That's got to be ours.
I was like, I was annoyed, but I understood.
Yeah, enchiladas, like brother. Woo.
Woo. Woo. I could understand why they couldn't, because the dump was probably closed because of the high winds, and so why pick it up when you can't take it to the dump? But see, it's back to the damn wind. It's this wind thing. Stop it. Come on, Mother Nature, give us a break.
It's only going to get worse.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be this person, this yelling at clouds old man.
There.
But I don't, every year I say I don't remember being this bad.
Until another year rolls by.
And it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
It used to be, once you'd get into May, it kind of calmed down a little bit. And then once you get to JUCO, it's fine. Now it's like, well, Saturday, Sunday at JUCO is going to be a mess with the wind. It's either blowing in, which is nice because games get over in like 2 hours and 10 minutes, or it's blowing out and we're going to die at the stadium because games are never going to end. Which happened last year.
That's true.
We had one of those games that was just never going to end.
Are you talking about the Thursday night JUCO game? That we were there till like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
They were big wusses. Well, you were off Friday.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think we're doing a show Friday. Because I think, Tyler was running the game, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
So it's like the three of us were doing the game, and two of us had to do the show the next day. And we decided to pass on that.
You look at me, you're like, what about not doing the show tomorrow? What do you think? I'm like, I don't care. I'm going home. I'm Blackhawk down till whenever.
Hey, assistant sports director, I was just asking an opinion. It's like, what do you think?
I was as close to your show, bro, as it gets.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care.
Thanks for the input.
Yeah,
brilliant.
I did. Thanks. I was very helpful. I'm nothing if not helpful.
All right, 9:14.
Also, I'm just going to put this out there.
Okay. Go ahead.
When we get north of 3 hours, I think everybody agrees it's okay to expand the strike zone.
Yes, absolutely. Totally in favor of that.
We don't need Triscuits up there. You know, give us some nice big street signs as the strike zone.
Yeah, give it
like a nice stop sign.
Let's not let it be a postage stamp.
Yeah.
Let it be a hula hoop.
There comes a point in the evening where if the pitcher lets go of the baseball, it's a strike unless you swing at it. Then you better hit it. If he lets go, doesn't matter where it goes. It hits the backstop. Let's get out of here.
We're close. Within 10 feet of the plate.
Yeah. Well, it's not fair to the kids who are playing. Well, at the 11th inning and 4 hours deep,
you think they
I'm not
were-
really... that worried about it at that
and
point.
Do you think they really care at that point in time either?
Because no. They've been at the yard since like 4. I mean, it's like yesterday too. It's like, hey, this is
now
this
if it's an elimination game. Okay,
yeah, that's different.
Yeah, that's different.
But if both teams are playing tomorrow,
regardless,
let's
go and get some sleep. Okay, let's do that.
Finish this game tomorrow.
Speaking of things that make you fall asleep. Colorado Rockies losing to the Giants last night, 5-0. You like that segue?
That was smooth. Yeah.
Kyle Harrison shutting down the Rockies for 7 innings. Who is Kyle
Harrison? I have no idea who that is.
Exactly. I have no idea who Kyle Harrison is.
This team sucks.
He shut them down for 7 innings. Kyle Christopher Harrison, drafted in the 2020 draft, third round, and he made his debut last year with the Giants. So that's who Kyle Harrison is, if you're wondering.
It's not like he's Blake Snell or anything.
No.
Good job, Scott Boris, on that one, too, by the way.
So, Rockies, you know, because they went 1-7 on the road. Now they lost to the Giants last night. They're 8-27. They got shut out for the sixth time this season.
I will say that road trip, though, the starting ERA for the pitchers is under 3.5.
Once again, we're looking for silver linings here.
Dakota Hudson wasn't great last night.
Cal Quantrill was great, though, against Pittsburgh.
Cal Quantrill was fantastic against Pittsburgh. Austin Gomber was stellar against Pittsburgh. They only won one of those two games because they're just not good at baseball. The best part is, though, they would still be fourth place in the American League Central. They would not even be in last place at 8-27. Looking at you, White Sox.
So for Harrison, 7 innings yesterday, and my computer's trying to screw with me here.
The Rockies are 15.5 games out, by the way.
Thank you.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Slim and none, and they both got on the bus and left town. Harrison's 7 innings career high becomes the 6th Giants starter to pitch 7 or more shutout innings at Coors Field, and the first since fill in the blank who pitched a complete game shutout in April of 2012. Not known for being a Giant, known for being a frontline starter for the other team that's going to be leaving there soon. Barry Zito.
Look at that.
Good job, Barry Zito.
I do like he only struck out 2.
Yeah.
In 7 innings. That means they were, putting it in play.
Making some contact. Yeah. That's something. Right?
They scattered 4 hits. How do you play 9 innings at Coors Field and don't have 1 extra base hit?
I don't know. I just don't. Like
both teams.
Yeah.
There was a double last night.
Singular.
Yeah, was the wind blowing in that bad?
Yes, it was.
I was watching hockey, so
I was too, to be quite honest.
I watched Celtics just absolutely steamroll the Cavs, and then I watched hockey.
Yeah, it's looking about as good for your Cavs as it is for the Nuggets right now. Derek White was really good for Boston last night.
Cavs weren't like championship favorites going in, though. Man alive, they sucked in the fourth quarter. Yikes.
So for the Rockies, when they play tonight, which we hope to join that in progress, not sure when we'll join it in progress with the change of the time today on the Mesa game.
It may be 6 or 7 innings deep now with the pitch clock.
Yeah. It'll be the Giants right-hander Jordan Hicks, 2-1, 1.89 ERA against Rockies righty Peter Lambert, 2-1, 5.66 ERA.
I will say about my Cavs, Donovan Mitchell was awesome last night.
He was.
He just could not do it himself. Darius Garland out there, like a grazing of the face, and LeBron looked at him and was like, dude, you're flopping.
What are you doing? Like, come on, dude. Come on, dude.
Yeah. Evan Mobley was all right, but their bench is atrocious.
Garland was okay for you. He had 14, 5 assists.
Jaylen Brown is kind of unstoppable right now. Him and Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I mean, Brown had 32. Tatum at 18 had a double-double, 18 points, 11 rebounds. Derek White, former UCCS player, former CU Buff.
Then Oklahoma City just whacked Dallas. I love what Lucas said after the game. Oh, yeah, what were they doing defensively? Who cares? We lost.
And Lucas got a case of the Jamal Murray's and he can't shoot the basketball right now.
Woo, brother.
Yeah. Not that he's throwing stuff on the floor, but he just can't shoot the basketball.
Kyrie was all right last night. 20 points. Mm-hmm. A rebound?
Singular? What do you get in the glass, Kyrie?
Yep.
All right, 9:20. And still time if you've got something you want to get off your chest today. Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. But right now, we'll play Wrigley Field Cut-Up Sports Trivia, brought to you by Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar, home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field, just east of Sam Suplicio Field. Winner today gets a gift certificate to Wrigley Field. If you won the last week's, don't play, by the way. And if you win today, you're qualified for the Never Ending Contest with Zach at Diamonds Jewelry, a great jewelry package with necklace and watch. It's about over a $5,000 value. Get details at theteam1340.com. So here's the question. Who has the most pinch-hit home runs in Rockies history? No multiple choice on this. Who has the most pinch-hit home runs in Rockies history? Great nickname, by the way. Who has the most pinch-hit home runs in Rockies history? First correct answer wins on the team line, 970-242-1340.
I'm on this guy's baseball reference page. I remember him being better than what these numbers indicate. There's not.
Yeah. But he has the most pinch-hit home runs in Rockies history.
That is true.
Ooh. And, like I said, kind of a cool nickname. I think Chris Berman might have given him this name, I think. Because that's where I remember hearing it. So get your answer in right now. Who has the most pinch-hit home runs in Rockies history? That's our Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia question today, 970-242-1340. All right, Will. What?
Sorry, I was looking... Looking at the back of this guy's baseball card, I'm like, I don't remember it being that poor. But.
Do you remember the nickname?
No, I don't, actually.
Based on a Pink Floyd song.
Okay, that makes sense.
You get it now? Okay.
Yeah.
There's a little clue for you, Pyle. Yep.
Just celebrated a birthday recently.
Oh, okay.
He's 58, which is about the number of hits he had in his career.
All right, 923. But 12 of them were home runs,
yes,
though.
Yes, they were.
12 of them were pinch-hit home runs. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Four down territory. Also, this day in sports history, that's on the way in the Jim Davis Show.
Touchdown every morning.
Woo! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
All right.
Welcome back, 926. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. All right, so still have time to get your wine in for Wine About a Wednesday. And looks like we have a winner for Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia.
We do.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Kyle first in the door, identifying John Vanderwall.
Another brick in the Vanderwall.
Yes. He had 717 hits over 14 years.
When I think Vanderwall, I also think like Todd Hollinsworth.
Yes.
A lot of hype. A lot of hype about him. And then the league, they were nothing great.
That must have been, well, Todd Hollinsworth was Rookie of the Year.
But the majority of his career, though, he was Rookie of the Year. But then after that, career kind of went.
Yeah. He was better Rocky than John Vanderwall.
Yeah. But, I mean, he was going to be a elite player in Major League Baseball, Hollinsworth was. Mm-hmm. And he was Rookie of the Year, and that's not nothing. That's something. But it didn't last as long as I think most of us thought.
No, they both finished shy of 100 home runs of their career. 98 for Hollinsworth, 97 for Vanderwall.
Journeyman guys.
Yeah, bounced around, played way too much with the Rockies to be great. No offense.
Yeah, Hollinsworth was with your then Indians, now yep. the Guardians.
2006.
Yeah, with the Reds.
Mm-hmm. He played that year for both Ohio teams, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, I shouldn't diminish the rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, the career wasn't anything spectacular.
Because, I mean, the rookie of the year, the 1996 American League rookie of the year was trying to find who it was. I'm like, that he wasn't a rookie. Edgar Renteria, Jason Kendall, Ray Ordonez, Jermaine Dye. Pretty good. Pretty good list of people there.
Yeah, I'm not, like I said, I don't want to diminish what he accomplished, but mm-hmm. Wasn't that Jason Jennings rookie of the year?
He might have been in 02, 01, 02, somewhere around there.
Yeah. So, what does that mean?
Nothing.
Not a whole lot.
Jason Jennings was the 2002 rookie of the year.
Yeah. So, it's nice. It's great, but it's...
Ahead of Austin Hearns, Kaz Ishii, Josh Fogg, the Dragon Slayer.
Yeah, eventual Rockies teammate.
Rockies had two guys in the top 10 that year in rookie of the year. Denny Stark as well.
Really?
Yeah. Mark Pryor was in that list for rookie of the year voting in 2002.
That's a guy that never, ever lived up to what...
Oh, no, not
what,
at all.
I mean, crack on Hollinsworth, if you, you know, as I did, but Mark Pryor was going to be one of the very best pitchers in baseball.
Todd Helton was 19th in MVP voting that year.
And now he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, look at that.
Look at that.
Jason Jennings isn't, so...
All right, so text or call is 970-242-1340.
Miguel Tejada was the AL MVP that year.
Really?
Yeah. 2002.
It seemed like Miguel Tejada played for like 50 years.
He had a 17-year stretch. 16, yeah. Actually.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
All right. It's time to dive into four down territory this morning.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right. Start things out with first down. That reporter Greg Doyle will not have a front row view of Caitlin Clark's rookie season like he thought he was going to. According to Bob Kravitz, who was here for when Bryce Harper
played
in JUCO. Bob Kravitz was the Post, Rocky Mountain News, one of the two. I think he was there for a while.
Something like that.
Now Indianapolis Star for a very long time. That Doyle suspended for 2 weeks following his uncomfortable interaction with Clark during her introductory press conference with the Indiana Fever last month. Additionally, Kravitz reports that Doyle won't cover any Fever games in person during the two-time National Player of the Year's highly anticipated rookie campaign, but will write columns and watch games remotely. The incident involving Doyle occurred at Clark's introductory press conference April 17th, and the longtime columnist began a question by making the same heart-shaped gesture with his hands that the former Iowa star flashed at her family throughout her college career. "You like that?" Clark replied with a smile. "I like that you're here. I like that you're here," Doyle replied. "Yeah, I do that to my family after every game. Pretty cool. We'll start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine," Doyle replied.
Ooh, let's...
creepy and that's awful. Not
good. Yeah, that's... Doyle, wow. not great.
Wow. Doyle addressed the interaction and a subsequent column as his actions were clumsy and awkward. No, they were just creepy, dude. There's no clumsy and awkward, just creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
Probably for good reason he is not allowed within 500 feet of a Fever game.
Oh, all right. Oakland A's currently have one of the worst home venues in baseball. And pitcher Mason Miller is not sugarcoating that fact. He was on foul territory, and Miller was asked if he has any plans to get in on the trend of closers having elaborate bullpen entrances with light shows and other effects. Miller said the A's have been experimenting with a few things, but he doesn't think having the stadium go dark as he heads out to the mound is an option. Why? Because the lights might not come back on. He said, we're trying a couple of things out. We talked about the lights. I don't think that's going to happen. They said the lights might not come back on. They seemed like they were kind of experimenting with something. They shut all the scoreboard lights off until I picked the ball up on the mound. But that was a little more of an awkward silence until I got to the mound. I think they're working on it.
Things are looking up for the A's, though. They're 8-8 on the road. They're not going to be a home team for the next 3 years. They're 8-8 on the road. They're in third place. They're four back of Texas right now. They have more than twice the wins that the Colorado Rockies do, with no real home field advantage to speak of.
But at least in the case of the Rockies, they know the lights will go back on.
That's true. Because they pay their bill, because there's plenty of people there. So
the Oakland Coliseum, it opened in 66.
It looks like it.
And the A's are playing there since 68. It looks exactly like it.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes in Vegas. I'm not sure how that's all going to work out.
I'm interested, though.
Will there come a point where there's too much there for Vegas, for a town of its size? I get it. It's entertainment capital of the world. You're going to have people that are in town. Hey, I want to go watch the Raiders play, or maybe watch...
I don't know if the A's are a good calling card for Vegas, Vegas is bigger than people think.
I just think there's other stuff there that I don't know if people are going to be enthralled to go watch Major League Baseball. And no matter how good or how bad the A's are.
Mm-hmm. Don't have an open-air stadium. Don't make it more than 35,000 people, and you'll be fine.
And that looks like the Sydney Opera House. That seems to be kind of what they're they're going for.
Have it small-ish, so 18,000 looks more than half full.
Looks pretty good.
And that'll be a good number for them to get. That's more than the Guardians got, the other night. So.
You know, and I know Mike Florio keeps talking about the optics in the UFL games, about the limited fans, except for St. Louis, which continues to draw like 35, 40,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, well, you need to play in smaller stadiums. Well, like
where
Defenders played Audi, where the MLS, it seats like, what, 25,000 or something? Mm-hmm. Are you going to go play at a high school? But hopefully for the A's, though, you're right. They won't make the mistake. Let's make it a 60,000 seat stadium.
Right.
No. Are you doing? Stop that. Doesn't sound like that's what they're going to do.
Last night, there was almost a disaster. If you were waiting for the Avs to start, you got a little Stars Avs pregame. But there was still 49 seconds left in regulation of the Rangers and Hurricanes game, and I believe New York was on the power play. So they cut, and then, oh, crap, cut back with 17 seconds left. Luckily, they didn't miss any game-winning goal, and they went to overtime. But still, woo, that was close.
Yeah.
Oh. That was a little close. And then your boy, Chad Kelly, is playing, quote-unquote, in the CFL because right now...
Be gone.
Suspended at least 9 games for the upcoming season. The CFL announced Tuesday its investigation into a lawsuit filed by a former strength and conditioning coach against both the Toronto Argonauts and Chad Kelly. Kelly is also suspended for Toronto's 2 preseason games for violating its gender-based violence policy. Kelly's going to be required to undergo confidential assessments by an independent expert and attend mandatory counseling sessions conducted by a gender-based violence expert. Both the sessions and assessments must be satisfactorily completed before the CFL will consider Kelly's reinstatement.
And he's not like a third-string quarterback or some scrub.
He was the most CFL outstanding player of the year.
Yeah. They went 16-2 last year.
Yep.
He's one of the best players in the league.
No announcement on penalties or sanctions against the Argos. The league did add the club's conduct in this matter will be reviewed.
Well, let's hope that the Broncos find a place for John Motoka, because that's who John Motoka signed a contract with at the moment.
Yeah,
he's with the Toronto Argonauts.
Got a lot better chance of starting there than he does in Denver now.
Probably so.
Ah, Chad Kelly can't get out of his own way.
It's like, come on.
Be gone.
Yeah.
If your hope is to ever play in the NFL again, this is the stuff you just can't do.
Yeah. That is something they don't have in Canada. That was my fourth down.
Okay. Thank you very much. It's time for this day in sports history.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's this day in sports history.
What an idiot. Just what an idiot. I'd watch a little CFL.
Yeah.
You know, my affinity for the league.
Won't see Chad Kelly.
He looks good. I mean, he's played really well.
You're more likely to see Jim Kelly now.
Probably. Or Gene Kelly, the old-timey actor.
Grace Kelly,
yeah.
Actually, probably a better chance of seeing Chad Kelly.
Yeah.
Than Grace Kelly.
Probably so. Same with Gene Kelly as well.
He's only suspended.
They both got suspended for life.
Their life is in suspension right now.
Yeah. All right, 1968, Jim Catfish Hunter, the Oakland A's, pitches a perfect game, beating the Minnesota Twins 4-0. It's the first perfect game in the American League regular season in 46 years. 1970, Walt Frazier, so cool seeing Walt Clyde Frazier, who's always been a very dapper dresser.
Mm-hmm.
If you watched the Knicks the other night, he was there, courtside seats. Very, very cool.
Looked great.
And he scored 36 points to lead the Knicks to a 113-99 win over the Lakers and the NBA championship in seven games back in 1970. 1984, on the day of the Olympic torch relay begins, the Soviet Union announces it will not take part in the 1984 Summer Games. The Soviet National Olympic Committee Union said the participation of Soviet athletes would be impossible because of the gross flouting of Olympic ideals by U.S. authorities. It's when they had invaded. They were in Afghanistan, I believe, at that point in time. 1993, Lennox Lewis of Britain scores a unanimous 12-round decision over Tony Tucker in his first defense of the WBC heavyweight title in Las Vegas. 2001, Randy Johnson becomes the third pitcher to strike out 20 in nine innings. He doesn't finish the game as Arizona goes on to beat Cincinnati 4-3 in 11 innings. And 2003, Minnesota becomes the first team in NHL history to rebound from 2-3-1 series deficits to win in one postseason with a 4-2 victory over Vancouver. And 2014, the Houston Texans. I'm going to do this one first. 2012. I'm talking about guys that could have been great and was great during stretches. Mm-hmm. Josh Hamilton.
Oh, man.
Becomes the 16th player to hit four home runs in a game, crushing a quartet of two-run drives against three pitches to carry the Rangers to a 10-3 win over Baltimore.
Still one of my favorite, this is SportsCenter commercials, him and Stu Scott with Mr. Met. What's wrong with him? Some of those home run derby balls, they were his cousin.
That was a great commercial.
Great commercial.
And then 2014, the Houston Texans take South Carolina defensive end Jadeveon Clowney with the first pick in the draft. The draft's other big name, Texas A&M quarterback Johnny Manziel, sits until Cleveland makes its third trade of the round and grabs the 2012 Heisman Trophy winner at number 22.
There's no way the Haslams can be that stupid on accident.
And he went on to take the Browns to four Super Bowls. Oh, that's right. That didn't happen, did it?
Took himself to Vegas a few times, though, where the Super Bowl was this year. So there you go. He didn't take himself to rehab.
Yeah, somebody took him to rehab. Somebody drove him to rehab. All right, 9:41. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Still time to get your wine in today to win a bottle of Talon Wine. They have the perfect wine to pair with whatever you're pulling out of the oven or taking off the grill. Steve. Chad Kelly. He'll be selling vacuums next year.
He knows their durability and toughness.
It's a good one, Steve. That's some quality work.
How, as a professional athlete, do you get bested by an old man with a vacuum tube?
I just don't know. Yes, when you're really, really drunk.
Like, you got jousted with a Kirby, essentially. Yeah. Like,
with the extension tube.
Yeah. I can't even get that thing to suck up cat litter. Like, how are you losing a fight to that as a professional athlete? Drunk or not?
Yeah, you're right.
It's like Baker Mayfield gets chased down on foot by a Husky beat cop.
How
and
does
he
that
won
happen?
The Heisman.
How does that
How does
happen?
This happen?
That should not happen. All right, maybe we grossly overestimate their athletic ability.
Vince Coleman can't outrun a tarp. gets hurt. Like,
how does this happen?
How does this happen? These are finely tuned athletic machines, marvels of the human body.
Maybe we just came up with a new segment. How does that happen?
How does this happen to you? Yes, we should have all these people on the show.
All right, 9:43. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warp twisted individuals. Yes.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
.946, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Don't forget, we'll have CMU and CSU Pueblo in the RMAC tournament today.
At some point today. Yeah.
3:30, 4 o'clock-ish. Because
somewhere.
Three teams from the front range. Well, actually, one was Adams State. So, and because the Blue Mesa, the bridge situation there, they had to go all the way. They had to go through
Moab. They took the scenic route.
Yeah. And so, anyway, they got in late. And so that's going to push the game times back to a 12 o'clock start for the first game, which is actually game two, but we're not going to get into all that again. And then CSU, Pueblo, and CMU at 3:34 o'clock today. And we'll have it right here on the team. Buckeye, you'll have it with Vern McGee. Does Vern, has he been alerted?
I have not made contact with Vern.
Okay. Probably he should know so he doesn't show up at 3 and go, or, well, 2:15 or something and go, oh, aren't we playing at 3?
Yeah.
Why is this game in the fifth inning?
Or we just hang out and have a dog and a...
Could do that.
And a Coke. You know, it'd be a good time. A
little bonding time before JUCO.
Yeah.
For the game today in JUCO. All right. So it's 9:47. And if you still want to get something in for Wine About a Wednesday, you can do that today on the text line. 970-242-1340. You can win a bottle of Talon wine. All right, time to open up the lid and hop in. It's garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right. There was this debate that Austin Rivers started. I'm sure you probably caught this.
Okay. A random name on a Wednesday.
Yeah. My computer, come on. My computer is on
the... Oh, is this the one where he's talking about
NFL players and NBA players?
Yeah, there's like 20 or 30 players in the NBA that could play in the NFL, but not one of the NFL players could play in the NBA.
My internet computer is locked up.
J.J. Watt says, well, you don't have a job offer from either league.
So why don't you just shut up? Yeah, Rivers is kind of trying to make his... You know, career, trying to get it started in media. Yeah. But he was on Pat McAfee's show. And Rivers said he believes you can hypothetically take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL, where you cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA. And he got pushback from McAfee. And he also got a lot of pushback from J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Did you say they were J.J. Watt? Hey,
Yeah, you don't got a job in either league right now.
If D'Amico Ryans wants me, me back down the stretch.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I'm coming. I'll be there for you. But anyway, yeah, he had that comment, but it was also, I mean, that was the most stinging.
Man, what a rebuke. Dagger. That's
so. Let's take a moment on this.
Oh, you don't got a job in either right now. Boom.
Are there guys in the NBA that could maybe play tight end, play wide receiver? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if there's 30 guys, though. LeBron, I think once upon a time, remember that was the whole thing about, hey, LeBron could go, LeBron's always wanted to play football and play in the NFL. And
play football, though.
Yeah,
and like,
in high school, and it was great.
Prep football in Ohio is not nothing. But also, that was now 21 years ago. When you say 30 players, you automatically think, okay, is there one player per team that could conceivably play in the NFL?
Like for the Nuggets.
That could have Rashee Rice's job, because he's not going to have it for a while.
Exactly. There's a job opening there. For the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Is there
Xavier
a nugget?
Worthy might be filling that void. So,
is there a Denver Nugget that could go down the road
And play for the Broncos.
Play for the Broncos.
Jokes aside about that, by the way, folks.
Oh, okay. So,
like anybody can play.
I was going to say, Aaron Gordon could be their best tight end on the field come Labor Day weekend because he'd be the only one out there. No offense.
What joker? 6'11 tight end?
He's real slow.
Pretty slow.
I think Aaron Gordon's athleticism would be the best for him.
I agree.
Are there some?
I think Jokic's size makes him interesting. But you're right. He's
putting a specific number on it is where is one of Rivers' problems.
But I don't think he's also going to be much of a. I no offense to Nikola. I don't think he's much of a blocker.
Oh no, not at all.
Don't think so. I can't think of anybody else though.
Not for the Nuggets.
Could Jamal Murray be a slot receiver? No. I don't know.
Nope. Now, if he can't withstand what the NBA is going to give to him.
Like Draymond Green. I'm talking about younger Draymond Green. Kind of like younger LeBron.
Maybe.
He's a physical guy, but NBA physical, NFL physical aren't the same.
Yeah, you got it for Draymond and Jamal Murray a little bit, too. You got to be a little more mentally tough in the NFL, I feel, than in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to be able to withstand the poop talk a little more. Like, Jamal Murray couldn't withstand a little bit of slightly aggressive defense. And in the NFL, you're going to get a little more than slightly aggressive.
Christian Brown,
is there one guy for every team?
Aaron Gordon, yeah. Aaron Gordon could do it. He's athletic. He's quick. He could run routes.
Yeah.
I could see him doing that.
Like, he doesn't need to stretch the field, but he possession receiver. Are there guys in the league that could play in the NBA? Yeah, probably.
Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah. I think if
Tony Gonzalez they both play college basketball.
If he had wanted to, Travis Kelce would probably be a good basketball player.
Yeah,
he's
got
size, quickness, hands. You know.
Yeah, that's but 30 guys. I don't think there's 30 guys in the NBA that could play in the NFL.
I don't think.
But then also, I don't know if there's 30 guys in the NFL that could play in the NBA.
Probably not.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion point, but I don't think are there guys? Yes, in both leagues that could play. In the how good they'd be? I don't know. I don't know how good Aaron Gordon would be as a receiver, or Draymond Green, or whoever.
I mean, he's really short, but he probably would have been a decent basketball player because he got drafted in the first round of two different sports. Kyler Murray.
True.
He's a good enough athlete.
Yeah.
But his size kind of works against him. I think Jalen Hurts might be a pretty decent hoopster at some point.
I think who else wouldn't be bad? Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson, probably.
Of course, Mahomes was more baseball.
Baseball, football. Probably played some basketball somewhere along the
way. I'm sure he wasn't bad. He's a really good athlete. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 30 guys, though.
PS2, maybe.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
So him, I mean, Cortland Sutton's got some decent size on him, but I don't know.
Played for SMU.
Game. Yeah.
He played college basketball for SMU.
Yeah. You know, so I think over... 50 guys times 32 teams? You might be able to find 30 that could
maybe
be good at basketball.
Maybe 30.
Making a roster in the NBA is different.
Yeah.
Going the other way, I don't think there's 30 NBA guys that could withstand the NFL.
And like the Austin Rivers is on McAfee's show, and you know, it's kind of more of a football-centric show. Yeah. He's trying.
Poop talk show, too.
So. I agree with Larry from Clifton. It's trying to get its clickbait stuff.
It worked.
And it worked because we're talking about it today. And that's our show for today. Later on today, Colorado Mesa CSU Pueblo RMAC tournament might be 3:30, might be 4:00. We'll have the game on later today and hopefully join the Rockies and Giants in progress. Back with you tomorrow morning at 7 on the team.